Donald Trump has so demonized Antifa that he has declared them a terrorist organization. Antifa is not a terrorist organization.
That was a short clip from a video released today from Huffington Post saying that Antifa actually are really not those bad guys you hear about from Donald Trump. But why are the media defending Antifa? Who are they and what benefit do they get from doing so? That's what we're going to talk about today, exposing the origins and understanding why Antifa exists.
We are here with the ANTIFA. We are marching through the streets without a permit now, but hey, when you're trying to smash fash, you don't need a permit.
That's why when I say we're going to talk about black people, I'm not talking about this guy, and I'm not talking about this guy. I'm, of course, talking about our favorite black-clothed people, anti-fascists, that are here to smash fash and win back America against the neo-Nazis. Anyway, I'm not a fascist, which is why I don't like to wear masks, and I don't require you to wear them either. But as always, I want to welcome you back to Slightly Offensive with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. This is an important two-part special, one released today and one next Wednesday, that is looking at not only Antifa, but their entire backstory so that you are informed and you are well-prepared. But we're also going to laugh at some idiots. Guys, if you want to support the show, please go to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive. Put in the code Elijah to get $10 off your subscription. And if you're like, dude, I don't want to buy a subscription from you, you freaking idiot, you doofus, you know, or maybe you have worse words, fine, I don't care. Don't buy a subscription, but then at least click the links below, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. It doesn't cost you anything. Just stop pretending like this, like I'm such a bad person because I want a 5-star review. I could ask for more, but I don't. Anyway, let's jump right into this. So Antifa has its origins beginning in 2011. And we're going to look at this year by year so that you understand between 2011 and 2018 how we got to where we're at today, which is part two, 2019-2020. The beginnings of Antifa start at a protest in 2011 called Occupy Wall Street. And for those of you guys that are not familiar with this protest, well, it's like a lot of the videos you've seen on this channel. Let's take a look and bring you guys up to speed. So that woman is my hero. She's my spirit animal. She is incredible. She knew from the very get-go that this Occupy Wall Street movement was not what people said it was. But for those of you wanting to know, not only did her dad not hug her enough, somebody give that woman a hug and maybe a keto diet list or something like that. I can lose a little weight myself. Look at this. Anyway, when you look at the Occupy Wall Street movement, it was an organized movement, actually, that had goals. And the goals of the Occupy Wall Street were this. Number one, to reduce political corporate influence. Number two, to balance distribution of income, bank reform, forgiveness of student loan debt, and alleviation of the foreclosure situation. But as a lot of you guys know, this original protest that was about the 99% of people, they say, the lower 99% of earners, fighting back against the top 1% earners, it doesn't seem like the people really knew that this is what they were fighting for. This man walked so that Slightly Offensive could fly. A street journalist from 2011 quickly brought up the fact of the problem with this protest movement was that people didn't exactly, I don't know, someone forgot to pass on the message that these were the goals of the protest.
What are these designs? What are they supposed to say?
To define the artwork is really to try to take the artwork and turn it into words is to not really be able to see the artwork for what it is. Does that make any sense?
No, but from what you just told me, it's not supposed to. The game of capitalism breeds dishonest men. These are the men that you're calling dishonest. Do you know who Ben Bernanke is?
No, I do not.
Do you know who Brian Moynihan is?
No.
How about Jamie Dimon?
No.
How about Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
Who's Kim Kardashian?
The chick with the fat ass.
You want me to tell you who Ben Bernanke is?
Yeah, tell me a little.
He's the chairman of the Fed. Let's recap. Who's Ben Bernanke?
CEO of Bank of America.
Chairman of the Fed.
Chairman of...
So as you can see, while we looked at the actual goals, which were very well organized, this movement had a problem because the people were just, I guess you could say, retards. If you can say that. I can't say retards because that's a bad word and we're not allowed to say that because of advertisers. But if you were to call them a retard, I wouldn't say you're wrong. But here on Slightly Offensive, we don't use the word retard. So you can always count on us to be politically correct. Okay. Well, here's what happened. So I dug up this article here, and you wonder, Elijah, how do you know that this is where Antifa began? I can tell you. I'll tell you for those of you guys that are asking. I pulled up this really well-archived article from The Chronicle that talks about the fundamental ideology behind this protest movement. It talks about the Occupy Wall Street's most defining characteristics is its decentralized nature and its intensive process of participatory consensus-based decision-making are rooted in other precincts of academia and activism in the scholarship of, wait for it, anarchism, and specifically in an ethnography of central Madagascar. And why are they looking at Madagascar? Well, it says because they've been left to live autonomously and they fight under direct action. And if these words don't sound familiar, that's because this is 2020 and we've heard all these before, right? The autonomous zone that popped up in Seattle, that's now in DC, that's in Portland. We have this idea of anarchism, which we're all very familiar with. But this academic, Mr. Graeber, fundamentally created a protest movement and helped shape it, not to really fight against the 1% as it was framed, but really to gather disenfranchised people to begin to entertain the ideas of anarchism. This sets the stage for where we're about to head, which is in the year 2012, which is where the movement gets lost. It can't survive. And it can't survive for two reasons, really. It can't survive for two reasons. Number one...
What are these designs? What are they supposed to...
Number one, it can't survive because look at the... The movement really didn't have a lot of purpose. I found this schedule. No, I didn't type this up on Microsoft Word. From a Facebook event, I put the URL there, where as they were supposed to be fighting against the corporate greed of the world, they accidentally were fighting, doing puppet shows. Playing baseball games, having Ecuadorian dance, and banging pots with wooden spoons. Interesting. One of you guys should get a wooden spoon and start a YouTube channel. It's an original idea. Anyway, things weren't going so well for the Occupy Wall Street movement. Not only because it was childish, didn't have a core organization. It was really hard to spread anarchy when you're busy playing baseball and smoking pot. But the biggest downside to it all was the fact that if you look in the upper left-hand corner, the movement was 4/5 white demographically, with only 1.6% of the people in attendance being black. Also look at the average income of over half the participants. It was under $25,000. Kind of hard to fund a movement, keep something going when everyone's poor, white, and no purpose, which is really interesting that you're going to see that the development of Antifa, which is mostly white, and extremism, comes from disenfranchised white people. Actually, if you think about this, you hear a lot about wanting to end the alt-right or extremism on the right, but a lot of people get into extreme right-wing ideas. Those are also disenfranchised young white men. And so what you're going to find is on both ends of the spectrum here of extremism, you find young white guys, usually, and some women with no purpose. So it's almost like maybe if as a culture we actually did something to help the poor white people in this country and cared about the white people in this country, we might actually fight extremism, where a lot of the racism and tension actually begins and ends. I don't know, smart idea, but don't listen to me. Continue pushing your justice movements. But this is not about that. We're talking about our good friends in black. So they needed to do something about this. And Antifa now, as the movement falls apart between 2011 and 2014, officially Occupy Wall Street ended in November of 2011, but it continued on in spirit with Occupy Wall Street events. But it wasn't until 2015 15 that Antifa became an organized group with a name. And I've actually uncovered the founding of their website, which is one of the first websites that actually grouped anarchists together. And it was found from the BBC, which is really interesting how I have to use a lot of European websites to find good information on American politics, because a lot of it is scrubbed. Well, before we jump into that, I need to remind you guys, as always, if you are not drinking Black Rifle Coffee, you are a bad person. Somebody heard me say that in the last episode and said they unsubbed because they go, I'm not a bad person if I'm not drinking Black Rifle Coffee. Not only have they not heard of sarcasm, but they also don't know the truth. Black Rifle Coffee actually makes you a good person, according to me, not the company. But what they do claim is actually truthful. They are a veteran-owned, veteran-operated company, which is why I love them. And they donate their coffee to first responders and to the military. But why do I really care about them the most? It's because it's a damn good cup of coffee. They offer whole beans and ground roasts as well as coffee rounds. Essentially, if you just go onto the website, they have a dog on it. So that means they're probably good people. We all know cat people are not from the Lord. Anyway, Black Rifle Coffee has this great thing called the Coffee Club, which if you use my code right now at blackriflecoffee.com/offensive, you get 20% off your order plus free shipping. You get whatever you want delivered to your office or home every single month. Don't have to go out with your pesky masks, which we should just keep this on there for the rest of the show. Anyway, check them out, blackriflecoffee.com/offensive to get 20% off your order today. Let's jump right back into this. So 2015 is when Antifa is born. We actually have the birth of the organization in this year. And it comes from this website, which we read in a BBC article, that they form this, it's really creepy, actually. This is Antifa's main organized website for anti-fascists around the world. There's two videos I want to watch. This is not a troll. Welcome, watch their welcome video. It really creeps me out.
We're on the front page of the New York Times. Donald Trump calls us thugs. Democrats complain that they can't control us. What are they afraid of? Anarchists oppose all forms of oppressive power. We strive for a world based on self-determination and mutual aid. As the world veers towards tyranny, only grassroots direct action can keep our communities safe. If you're ready to take action without waiting for orders, you're one of us. If you want to learn more about us...
Okay, so this is already seeming weird to you. Well, this is a site called itsgoingdown.org. You can check it out, links in the description. This website begins and forms off of the Occupy Wall Street movement for people who want to see a future without capitalists and the rich in power. And it was only getting about 150 to 200 clicks per day. But there's other websites as well, which we'll get into, that started to form, including this website, which is sub.media. Which has podcasts and gear and everything. I mean, you can check this out. ACAB1312, which is the exact same thing, means all cops are bastards, in case you didn't know that. But you had this sort of grouping of these anti-fascists that were against corporate greed. Now, that is very similar to what we were already seeing in 2011 through 2014. It's just now it has a name. They even have the Antifa comic book, which you can get for $20, a great gag gift if you want to support your comrades out in the field, as well as this, which is crimethink.com, which is also another one of their organizing sites, but I want to focus here on It's Going Down. This movement has another creepy video, which we're going to watch the whole thing, I think. Let's do it. Check this out. They are an organization. They have a source where they get their doctrine. You should check out this website. But they have this video. Not only are they in Canada, Mexico, check out their own video about their organization. Don't take my word for it.
Launched in the summer of 2015, It's Going Down is a website that is run by a network of friends and comrades across the territory of so-called North America. It's Going Down is designed to help build bridges, to show that we are all linked together through action and the desire to better our lives and communities, while at the same time creating a material force which can seize territory, defeat our enemies and the apparatuses of control, and create different ways of being. We want to ferment a culture not only of revolutionary action, but thinking strategically about that action. And above all, we want to create a forum on how comrades across a vast territory are thinking, fighting, attacking, and getting organized. Mexico has found itself on the brink of insurrection as rebel communities establish themselves against the narco state. The United States is seeing some of the fiercest rebellions against the police and white supremacy that it has.
Okay, I'm not even going to show you the rest of this. What I do want to point out that's fine is that this is the first time that Antifa now has a central place for people to get information and understand their ideology so that it will not die. But it is not until... Man. But it's not until 2016 that America meets the Antifa that we know today. Of course, the ones who riot in the street. Antifa makes their breakout moment in 2016 at the election protest, specifically in Portland. Now, what I want you to notice about this is early on, we start with Occupy Wall Street, which was against corporate greed, and then it developed into this anarcho kind of society where people were just kind of autonomously living in the park in New York. It's really what it was. And then it died down around 2014, and then with this emergence of this website and these ideas to get out, but where do we display them? Well, the Pacific Northwest is where things began, and you'll see this link between OWS and the Election Day protests where Antifa actually only targeted big corporations and banks in their violence. Okay, so if you notice, they attacked, I don't think they attacked the Starbucks in this video, but a Bank of America, a Toyota, I know they did attack Starbucks. They were essentially living up to their ideals, like they mentioned in that video. They were becoming an anti-capitalist, anarchist movement. But of course, if you attack capitalism, there's opportunists that will also begin to push Marxism. And it seems that over just the span of a few months, Antifa lost a lot of their understanding of why they were rioting. And those were actually very significant riots. And people saw, what are these black-clad people? Who are they? And what are they up to? Well, that's where we reached 2017, which was their breakout year, the rise of Antifa. See, they went from being a random, fun, crazy group that was standing against Wall Street to an organized group that didn't have a lot of membership. Then Trump gets elected and they have their breakout session. But now they need to get immortalized into American culture. And 2017 is really a year where a lot of you probably heard about them for the first time. And there's just a couple events that are extremely serious. We're going to get some intense footage. But I want to remind you guys, as the host of this show, it's not just Antifa we have to worry about, but there are evil people online as well. Specifically, they are trying to steal your data, sell your data. They want to take away from you your autonomy to hide and to protect yourself online. And that's why you need ExpressVPN. If you use a VPN, essentially what it does is it hides your data so that people cannot steal it. Tech companies try to track you through your IP, try to look at what you're doing, and you need that level of protection as big tech is your enemy. And now more than ever, you got to watch yourself online. If you go to expressvpn.com/offensive, you can go today to find out how to get 3 months off of a year subscription. And it's really incredible. It's not even very expensive. You just check out the link. Again, go to expressvpn.com/offensive and please protect yourself, your family, get it on your iPhone, get it on your Android, and activate that so that not only when you travel, you have access to all the right information, but also so that you can continue to just keep your data in a protected place so that these tech companies can't prey upon you. It's really simple. Go to expressvpn.com/offensive today. Find out how to get 3 months free of a year's subscription. But anyway, we're back in 2017, and we have this moment now where Trump gets inaugurated. These are called the J20 protests. And we see that the goal of Antifa switches. Down at the bottom here, Well, actually, let's go to the middle. The CNN article from the protest says bursts of chaos erupted on 12th and K streets as black-clad anti-fascist protesters smashed storefronts and bus stops. This is one of the first times that you start seeing this reference of anti-fascist, right? Before, they're just black-clad rebellious people, they're vandals, but now we're actually calling them Antifa. The organizer at the bottom says, we're really trying to set a tone of resistance for the coming years. Lacey McCauley, a Disrupt J20 organizer, told CNN, Donald Trump represents a shift in our politics in a dangerous, harmful, exclusionary direction. We oppose these policies of hate. And so they oppose the policies of hate. And this is where you see the modern Antifa is born. It's alive. The soy is infused. No, I'm just kidding. They're around. So it goes from sort of an organized group to a open source website, which, by the way, operates on the dark web. I was going to tell you, if you go to their website, they operate through Tor. So that shows you that that's kind of domestic, like a domestic terrorist group would do. I don't know. Maybe. If you don't know what the dark web is, just YouTube it. But don't go on it really unless you know what you're doing. It's hard to use, and you can find very bad stuff on there that you don't want to see. Anyway, they have this breakout year, and so check this out, as this is what they were doing.
Washington police reported many arrests as thousands of agitators determined to mark Donald Trump's inauguration with protests. Masked and black-clad anarchists clashed with police lines less than a mile from where Trump stood to take the oath of office. Corporate symbols were targeted as Starbucks and Bank of America were vandalized. Groups also linked arms to prevent Trump supporters gaining the parade area at times.
So what's really weird about this is that you see Antifa now is fully organized. I don't know what happened between the election and the inauguration. It's almost like maybe somebody was funding them, somebody was teaching them, somebody was training them, or they had a website and a place they gathered, which they did. And the media ignored this and denied it and tried to prevent them from America from really accepting this threat that was brewing in our country. Really, definitely the alt-left was growing here. They continued to protest. On May Day, protesting, which I have this video, check this out.
Protests turned violent in Portland, Oregon last night. Demonstrators throwing smoke bombs, Molotov cocktails, and other objects at police officers. The group of self-described anarchists also set fires in the streets. Multiple people were arrested, and some downtown businesses were damaged, including a police car, which was destroyed.
So this is where we start getting the anti-police movement. But of course, the most important event that happened as they begin to build steam, experiment with their destruction, they're still getting bad PR, and they need to be heroes. They need to be sanctified and immortalized as people that America needed, who are fighting white supremacists and neo-Nazis. These have to be good people, even though they look scary. And we know that because as the media continually likes to defend them, saying things like on Vox, but the Antifa discussed in the president's tweets and on Fox News bears little resemblance to this morally gray reality. They are a trumped-up boogeyman for the conservative movement, a totem used to justify their violent law and order approach to legitimate demonstrations demanding racial justice. The media defends them and continues to do so, and the reason why is primarily because of a key event. Actually, a key event. And it was this event, which I'm going to play for you. And if I play any more of that, I'm going to get a copyright strike. I had problems with that video. That's why you're viewing it the way it is. But essentially, there was this event called Charlottesville, which was this, this narrative was pushed immediately that was used, and it was politicized because they not only used the event to demonize Trump supporters and call us all Nazis and use this as a way to try to justify us, taking out of context Trump's words famously, but they also use this to make the left seem like good guys, these militant far-left Antifa as being innocent individuals. Really, what Charlottesville was in many ways was a clash between pretty far-right individuals and pretty far-left individuals being complete idiots on the streets. on the streets. And I'm not going to get too much into it, but what you saw in that video was Heather Heyer, who, according to reports, was killed while she was crossing the crosswalk when that car came. Some people question the narratives. I'm not going to get into that. That's not what this show is about. I'm just telling you about where Antifa got their fame. So now Antifa are the good guys. They're fighting the Nazis. Everybody knows them as that. And they're winning. They are winning. And so this is where we start calling them. CNN starts labeling them Antifa. They have a name. They have an understanding of who they are. And people forever are immortalizing them. And we're going to see this move in 2018 now to where Antifa is a movement here to stay. Right here, we have this article during the Unite the Right 2 that it says here. Let me just zoom in here for you guys a little bit. My bad on this terrible low small font, but I don't know how to use my own software, guys. I'm sorry about that. But it says here, Sunday's counter protests against the white nationalist Unite the Right 2 rally in Washington, D.C. were largely peaceful. Thousands of people held multiple rallies across the city to celebrate diversity and push back against the hateful views the white nationalists espouse. But a few left-wing Antifa, short for anti-fascist, counter-protesters did engage in violence, throwing eggs and water bottles. So Antifa is now painted as this anti-white nationalist movement, which, by the way, they are not. They never were. If you're tracking with me, they started out as an anti-capitalist, anti-wealth gap movement, developed into a full-on anarchist movement, adopted the name as anti-fascist. They're still very anti-capitalist. People don't realize that. Antifa is it still is an anti-capitalist movement, and they want to replace that with anarcho-communism, which is this idea of horizontal leadership creating a community where there's no bourgeoisie. But we know that doesn't happen in communist countries. Point one out that works, you won't be able to. But speaking of this, after these years, Antifa went quickly from 2011 of being a bunch of bogus people together to now being a group that was respected in some ways in the country as one of the first lines of defense in stopping racism and hatred. And they were tolerated and allowed to grow, and their violent acts sometimes were justified. Even Greta Thunberg, our Lord and Savior, was caught wearing T-shirts with this, with graphics, etc. Keith Ellison, the district attorney of Minnesota, was caught, supporting Antifa. And now Antifa is in this position to where people love them. And that's where we're going to get to 2019 and 2020 in part two, looking at the rise of Antifa and the warfare that's going on now in Portland and why it's so important in the center of what you're going to see an explosion right before the election of basically a war breakout using with these people at the center of it. But anyway, thank you guys so much again for watching part one. Catch it part two next Wednesday. Have a great rest of the week as always, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.